Okay, I would like for you to please turn with me to the book of Hebrews, the book of Hebrews chapter 3. The book of Hebrews is really, to me, it's a loving book. And the reason I say that, I mean, you know, all the books of the Bible, because God is love. So, but I just love the book of Hebrews because of how God so lovingly, so graciously reaches out to those who were of Israel. You know, a people who had rejected him. A people who, we're going to read about that today. A people who continually and consistently rebelled against God. Really something. And yet, God's reaching out. And he's reaching out to them in just the most wonderful, loving way in the book of Hebrews. It's like, you know, every angle you could come at them with, every objection that they might have against Jesus being the Christ, against him being that promised seed, that Messiah that they were looking for, that was promised. Every objection they could have, God deals with it. It's really beautiful. And in this section, we're going to see, it's a pretty neat analogy, an example offered to Israel, one that they would have been very familiar with, regarding Jesus Christ, and regarding him being the one who was promised. It's really beautiful. We're going to begin in verse 1 of chapter 3 here. You know, prior to this, those of Israel, those scattered, they were encouraged to really consider what they had heard regarding Jesus Christ. Beginning here in chapter 3, it says, "Wherefore, holy brethren," or sanctified, set apart. That family of words basically means set apart. It's separated out from the common lot. "Partakers of the heavenly invitation." That word calling is the word, it means invitation. "Consider." Okay, it's to really reflect, really think about this. You know, carefully think about. "Consider the apostle and high priest of our profession," and it should read, "Jesus." Christ is not in any critical Greek text. So it simply reads, "the high priest of our profession," or confession, what we profess. Okay? "Consider him carefully," Jesus, our apostle and high priest, "who," and it should read, "is," "who is faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house." Now there's an analogy in these next few verses regarding a house. Whose house is it? It's God's house. Okay? And we're going to see in these next couple of verses, we'll see the word "build" or "builded" used. And it's a word that means to fully prepare, fully and completely. Okay? It's more than just like, you know, when I would build a house in the past, you know, I would build a house and I wouldn't fully prepare it. But this word is to fully prepare. Okay? The furniture, the everything. All right? And it's just, it's a comparison, an analogy. Faithful in all his house, for this man, this Jesus, this one that I'm asking you to carefully consider, was counted worthy of more glory than Moses. Inasmuch as he, or could read someone, who hath builded the house, has more honor than the house. For every house is builded or fully prepared by somebody, but he that fully prepared or built all things is who? Is God. See? God is the one who fully prepared, and God deemed this Jesus, this apostle and high priest of what we profess, whom I'm asking you to carefully consider, worthy of more honor than Moses. Now, verse 5, Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a what? As a servant. For a testimony or a witness or an evidence of those things which were to be spoken after or later. Moses was a witness to things that were to be spoken after. Okay? I want to, you can turn with me if you like, but I'm going to read a section from Deuteronomy chapter 18. Numbers, Deuteronomy. Verse 15. And it says, the Lord thy God, this is Moses, Moses speaking, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him you shall hearken. Isn't that something? Look at verse 18. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. Well, who do you think he's talking about? Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
That's right. As a matter of fact, in the Gospels, there were those who asked, is he that prophet?
Yes.
Is this him? That's right, and it was him. See? Moses witnessed to those things that were to be spoken after. Isn't that something? And he was faithful in all that God gave him to do as a servant.
Servant.
Now, let's go back to Hebrews chapter 3. Verse 6. But Christ. Now, this is kind of neat here. Because this is the first time Christ, which means the anointed one, is used in the book of Hebrews. Isn't that neat? In this context. Christ, the anointed one, as a son. See, prior to this, he's referred to as Lord. He's referred to as some other things. But this is the first time he's called Christ. But Christ, as a son, not a servant, but as a son, over his house, the word own is not in any critical Greek text. His house. Whose house? God's house. He's the one that prepared it. Whose house are we? If we hold fast, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Now, there's a condition here. If we hold fast to that hope that was given. There's a context to this. There's also a conditional clause down in verse 14. Let's read that one real quick, and then we're going to come back. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Okay. Now we'll get into this verse a little bit more in a minute. But there's going to be a context here that we're going to see. It's addressed to those who were of Israel. See? And they were given a hope. Regarding who?
Christ.
That's right. See? Now, let's keep reading. Wherefore, verse 7, as the Holy Spirit says, referring to God, well, let's read this and then I'm going to come back to something I wanted to do. Wherefore, as the Holy Spirit, God said, today, if you will hear His voice. Okay? Now, we're going to read these verses. And what these verses are, is they are a quote from Psalm 95. Okay? And we'll see it in a minute, it spells something out. And this psalm is then referred to a number of times to follow all the way into chapter 4. He keeps reminding them of this. So let's just read it. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation. That word provocation, you could also translate rebellion. In the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted or tested me, they kept testing me. Or tempted me and proved, or that's the word tested, proved or tested me and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart. They have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Isn't that something? This day of rebellion, or this day of provocation, it is not one instance. It is a day is put for a period of time. Where they constantly rebelled against God. See? Isn't that something? And you can read about, you can read about these things. As a matter of fact, keep your finger here. I wrote a couple of these down. Let's just look at them, and then we're going to come back. Numbers 14. Keep your finger in Hebrews. We're going to be right back. Okay, what did I say? Numbers 14. Numbers 14, verse 11. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? How long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed them. Look at verse 22. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened unto my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swore unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. Isn't that something? Look at Deuteronomy, next book. Chapter 9. Verse 22. 21 talks about the calf they had made. Moses is talking about that. And verse 22, at Taberah and Massa, and at Kibroth Hatzetadavah. You provoked the Lord to what?
Wrath.
To wrath. Likewise, when the Lord sent you from Kadesh Barnea, saying, go up and possess the land which I've given you, you rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God, and you believed him not, nor hearkened to his voice. You have been rebellious against the Lord from the day that I knew you. Isn't that something? See? That's what he's talking about, that time. You know, they were not allowed to enter into the promised land. This, we can go back to Hebrews. At Kadesh Barnea, that was the entry into the promised land. And they wanted to send spies in the land. So God said, okay, if you're going to send spies, send these two guys, Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb went in, spied out the land. Isn't that something? They sent in 10. Joshua and Caleb weren't among the spies. Was Caleb one of the spies?
Yeah,
he was. That's right. And you ought to go back and read that record. It's been a while. But when they came back, you know, Joshua and Caleb were, hey, let's go. This was promised by God. And Israel, they wept and they cried. You know, it's really something. We're going to keep reading in here in Hebrews. But see, this record, what God is reminding them of is that day of rebellion. I promised you a land. I promised that a Messiah was going to come out of you, that I would raise a prophet out from among you. And every time Israel got in the soup, they cried. You've led us out here to die. We're all going to die. We're all going to die. We want to go back to our other gods. You know what the bottom line was? They didn't believe regarding the Christ. How could Christ allow them to be destroyed if he was going to raise a prophet out from among them? How could he allow them to be destroyed if the Messiah was going to come out from them? Do you understand? They didn't believe. They didn't believe. They couldn't see past their own noses. See? They didn't get it. They didn't know who God was. They would not accept what it was, what he was for them. You know, and I got to tell you, a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day, that's not too bad, right?
Right.
See? But that whole generation, and we're going to read about it, you know, they died in the wilderness. He would not allow them to go into that land that he promised. See? On our way back, to, you know, we ought to read Psalm 95. Why don't we turn to Psalm 95? Keep your fingers in Hebrews. We're going to come back in a moment. Just to kind of get some of this background, because it'll pay off as we read. Psalm 95. Psalm 95, we're going to start in verse 7. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, sound familiar? And saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, it's a people that do err in their heart. They have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. See, that's something. That they should not enter into my rest. Now let's go back to Hebrews. This Psalm 95 is going to be referred to in verse 13, 15, and 18 of this chapter. And 3, 5, and 11 of chapter 4. He's going to keep bringing them back to this. Today, you know, don't harden your hearts as in the day of provocation. That was written in the Psalms. See, but you're going to see it's going to be applied to today. Today. It's really neat. It's so loving what God is doing. It's really beautiful. So, verse 11. I swear in my wrath that they shall not enter in to my rest. I want to handle this word just before we read on. In verse 11, the word rest. This word is, it's the Greek word katapausis, I think is how it's pronounced. But it means, it comes from a word that means to settle down. Isn't that neat? Just settle down.
Yeah.
Enter into my rest. It was used in secular writings of the winds ceasing. You know where it's real windy? And just, and they settle down. It's kind of neat. That's that. That's this word rest. It's a rest from works. See? You just settle down. That's right. Verse 12. Take heed. Pay attention. Brethren. Lest there be, or so there will not be, any of you with an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called what? See? Referring to Psalm 95. You see it? Today, harden not your hearts. Now, today is today. While it is called today. We're going to see a little bit more about that today in a few minutes. Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Verse 14. We are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Our confidence steadfast unto the end. This word confidence, this word confidence is the word hypostasis. Okay? I'd like to close with prayer now. It's, I forget how many times it's used. But I can tell you one place it's used that you're going to be familiar with. And it's Hebrews 11. Now, believing is the substance. That's that word. See? Isn't that neat? It's the substance of the title deed. It's a word that means it's that which holds up what is real. It's the foundation. It's the foundation. Well, that which holds up what is real is God's word. It's His promises. See, that's why believing what God says is as a title deed. Because God's word is what? It's sure. And that's what this is referring to. If we hold fast to the foundation of what is real, that which was given to us, see, to the end. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
All right. Good. Under the end, verse 15, while it is said today, again referring back to Psalm 95, just to remind them. See, they would have got this. They would have understood this. Today, if you will not harden your hearts, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the rebellion. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? Isn't that something? See, that generation. Hey, whose carcasses didn't fall in the wilderness among those that came out?
The children.
The children and Joshua and Caleb. See? Because they believed. They believed God. They didn't rebel. They didn't reject. See? Isn't that something? And that's what God is so lovingly reminding those of you know, Hebrew background. Don't be like them. Remember? Don't be like them. Remember? Remember? They hardened their hearts. They hardened their hearts. They wouldn't believe. Verse 18. And to whom swear he that they should not enter in to his rest, but to them that believe not? Again, another reference to Psalm 95. So we see they could not enter in because of what? Unbelief. Because of unbelief. Verse 1 of chapter 4. Let us therefore, because of this stuff, because of this example of hardening the heart, of rebellion against God, let us therefore reverence, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. The words being left us. It means, when it's used in its passive form, it means to remain open. You get that? To remain open. Being left us. To remain open or to leave open. Lest a promise being left open or a promise remaining open. Lest any of you should seem to come short of it. And the words come short means to come too late or to miss out or to miss or to be left behind. That's something. This promise remains today. See, again, today is a period of time. It's a period of time. Jesus Christ talked about a time when the doors to the kingdom would be shut. That day will come. It will come. Do you remember the parable of the 10 virgins at the wedding? You know, they didn't have their stuff together. They didn't have their oil. And they weren't prepared. And the doors got shut. And they couldn't be a part of the wedding. Right? See? There's one. I'll tell you what. Keep your finger here. Let's turn to one. Luke 13. Luke 13. But today, this promise remains. It's really beautiful. Luke 13, and let's start in verse 23. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut to the door, and ye begin to stand outside without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know not whence you are. Then shall you begin to say, we've eaten, we've drunk in thy presence, and you've taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I don't know whence you are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. And there shall be what? And gnashing of teeth. It's not going to be a happy time. See? That day will come when those doors will shut. Isn't that something? And here it is in Hebrews, let's go back there. This promise remains open while it is today. See? Today being that period of time. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. Now, the us is those of Israel today to whom this book was addressed. The them is referring to those of Israel in the time of Moses. The gospel regarding Jesus Christ was preached unto them, just like it's been preached unto us. That's right. Romans 1, which he promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, regarding who? His Son, Jesus Christ. See? Who he marked out as a Son of God by the resurrection from the dead. The Scriptures, they preached the coming Christ. Moses talked about it. We read it. That word, or that gospel, that proclamation regarding Jesus Christ was preached unto them, just like it's been preached unto you. Then it says, but the word preached didn't profit them, not being mixed with the believing in them that what? That heard it. See? It had been preached, but the hearing of Jesus Christ, the hearing of the gospel in and of itself doesn't accomplish that which it could and will when believed. They didn't believe. It was spoken to them. They were taught it, but they didn't believe it. They didn't believe a Christ was really coming out of them. That God would just wipe them out any moment. Isn't that something? And it's been preached unto you, speaking to those who this was addressed to, and it is still true when? Today. Okay. For we which have believed do enter into rest. And that's that same word, that rest, that ceasing from works. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, again, that same word, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, or from the overthrow of the world. Now, this overthrow that's being spoken of is narrowed down in the next verse. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. See, from all his works. So the overthrow that he's speaking of is that overthrow that took place and was begun to put back together in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. Because that was what he rested from on the seventh day. And God said, let there be light. And God said, and God said, and God said, and God said. And then on the seventh day, he what? He rested. He rested from his work. Verse 5, and in this place again, if they shall enter in to my rest. Again, a reference to Psalm 95. Isn't that something? Seeing, therefore, it remains, or remains available, is what it means. It remains available that some must enter therein. That's his rest. The therein is referring to his rest. And they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of what? Because of unbelief. Again, he sets, or he determines, a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Well, now we know who the writer of Psalm 95 was. It was David. Verse 8. For if Jesus, now in the context it's clear that this isn't referring to Jesus Christ. This can be translated either Jesus or Joshua. And from the context it's clear it should be translated here what?
Joshua.
And if Joshua had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? Verse 9. There remains, therefore, a rest to the people of God. Now, this is interesting. This word rest is the word sabbatismos. Right? We get the word Sabbath. It's a sabbatical rest. It's as God resting from all his work on the seventh day. See, there therefore remaineth a rest to the people of God, or to God's people. Jesus Christ, as God's Son, did all the work. He finished all the work that God gave him to do. And all that believe on him rest in his works. That's that sabbatical rest, that Sabbath. Isn't that beautiful? It's really something. Jesus Christ did it all. You know, this rest, and that rest that belongs to he who calls on the name of Jesus Christ, he who believes on Jesus Christ, see, who confesses him as Lord and believes that God raised him from the dead. All that do that have rest. There are no works to do for salvation. There are no works to do for righteousness. There are no works to do for eternal life. That's something. Settle down. Just settle down. It's like the wind. We're good. Our future's secure. We have a hope. Jesus Christ is coming back. We're going to see him face to face. We're going to have a body fashioned like unto his body. That's something. We're going to be glorified in Christ. We're going to be with Jesus Christ for all eternity. Okay. Eternal life. You see the rest? Nothing to work for. We can enjoy that which God has provided through his Son, Jesus Christ. See? That's that sabbatical rest. And we can rest from working for our salvation, for our righteousness, for our standing with God, or our position as sons of God. Really something. Settle down. I love that. That's right. Verse 10. For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. And this rest here and in verse 11, we're back to katapausis. That resting, ceasing from works. Verse 11, let us labor. Let us be diligent, therefore, to enter into what? That rest. See? Be diligent to enter into that rest. Take heed to this gospel that's been preached. Don't be as those unto whom the gospel was preached back in the day of rebellion. Isn't that something? Be diligent to enter into this rest. Don't reject this as they rejected. Lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Again, referring to Psalm 95. See? Verse 12. For the word of God is living and powerful. It says living and powerful regarding this that we are reading, regarding Christ, the apostle and high priest of what we profess, of our confession, as he who God has given more honor than Moses. It's as living, it's as true as it was back in the day when God promised them the land. Back in the day when God said, I'll take care of you. Back in the day when they were hungry and he gave them manna. back in the day when they were thirsty and he gave them water out of a rock. Or they came to the shore and he split the Red Sea for them. See. And they constantly rebelled. And what God is so lovingly doing is, don't rebel with this. Not this. Not this. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner, a critic of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's the Word that is the critic. It's the Word that's the critic. Unbelief results in a heart criticizing God's Word and rebelling against God. What God is saying is, my Word is the critic of your heart. It's the other way around. See? So here's the Word. And while it's today, please don't rebel like they did. Do you see the love here? It's just amazing. Yeah. Then verse 13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest or hid from him. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. You know, it's really something. Basically, what's being said here is, look it, you can't hide. This is the truth. You can't pretend. You can't do any of that. Believe. The Word is the critic of the heart. See? Putting on an act doesn't get it. Believe. Believe on He whom God has given to be believed on, Jesus Christ. Isn't that simple? Isn't that wonderful? And then that rest is available to all who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. Settle down. Isn't that great? Nothing to work for. See? We just enjoy His grace and we rely on Him. We walk in His grace rather than our own strength, rather than our own wits. We hold our heart up to God's Word rather than letting our heart, you know, do all the deciding. Letting our heart become the critic. Just the opposite. So, I love that section. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
So there's a rest of God's people. So I'm going to pray.